Is it my imagination, or is everybody crazy all of a sudden? I'm not kidding you. You turn on the news, everything that's being said is crazy. It's insane. It doesn't make sense. It's out of this world. It's annoying. The people you meet in the street, what's wrong with them? They're crazy. They're not saying anything that makes any sense. Even friends or acquaintances or the big Facebook friends, they're all full of anger. They're going nuts. They're on edge. What's going on? I know what's going on. You know what's going on. So today we're going to talk to a doctor who's going to help us along with our craziness. Because you're crazy.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Everybody's crazy.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah. Hold on tight. Right. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Crazy.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. And the British accent people as well. All of you are just crazy, though. You're all crazy. The expectation that I have in meeting anybody is that I'm going to be meeting somebody who's crazy. Used to be you'd say hello to people and superficially they would answer you. You would say, you know, somebody that you knew and, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. How you doing, Ron? I'm fine. I'm good. Top of the world. Everything's good. Everything's good. I could complain, but nobody would listen. It's funny. So you're doing good? Yeah, things are good. Yeah, sure. You? Yeah, they're great. Sure, why not? That used to be the conversation. Very superficial, very annoying. But superficially, somewhat easily pleasant. Now, if you ask somebody how they're doing, it's not like that anymore. Hey, how you doing? Don't ask. Ooh, huh? You? Yeah, I know. Crazy, isn't it? It's horrible. I know. Hope things get better. Yeah, me too. What kind of conversation is that? That's depressing. It's awful. People are supposed to be walking around being joyous. What's up with this? Hey, I'm not a real religious guy at all. But if Jesus is going to do a second coming, can we get on with it then? Can you show up and do some stuff? I'm not even interested in turning the water into wine. It would be nice as a little thing on the side, a nice business, but that's not what I'm looking for. I can buy my own wine and my own water, and I don't need anything to turn from one to the other. I got that. I got that down pretty good. But I need you, Jesus, to show up and to incite some humanity, some civility, some type of love amongst people. Can you do that? Can you just show up a little bit? Like between, like maybe after a commercial break on a network or just show up somewhere. You don't have to stay here. You can come down off the mountain, do your thing, and go back up to the mountain. That's fine. Just do something. I I don't need religious leaders to lead me through the desert. I've got a GPS system. I can find my own way to the next town. Thank you. And I've got sandals that are kind of better than my shoes. I can make it through the desert, I think. I don't know, if I had my devices with me. I don't need that right now. I need somebody to step down from the mountain and just say, hey, let's stop this craziness. Because it's on you. It's on you. You can stop the craziness anytime in a very peaceful, intelligent manner by standing up with other people and saying, no, no more. I'm done. I'm done with all your foolishness, your drama. This is what I'm saying to the government and to you-know-who. And people will therefore start to have hope and understanding and love between each other, and instead of everybody being your enemy. The FBI, we're at war with the FBI, says some of the Republicans now. The president says that the media is our enemy. It's our greatest enemy is the media. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Divide and conquer. That's what you're doing. Nothing for dividing and conquer for the country, bad. Dividing and conquer for the president's personal gain, good for him. I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. It's all crazy. And you're putting up with it. So am I. Stand up. Stand up and say, no, no more of this crap. I'm above all this. Childish. This is like watching two 5-year-olds, just yelling at each other and knocking each other down in the yard at the school, bullying, calling each other names. Well, you're stupid. Well, you're Mr. Stupid Pants. Well, you're Mr. Wetty Pants. Well, you're Mr. Silly Head. That's all this is. It's so obvious. This Trump guy, I mean, I'm not familiar with him really too much, but this Trump guy, he smells Robert Mueller on his ass. Robert Mueller, of course, is the special counsel guy who's investigating, you know, if Russia meddled in the election, which is pretty much the case. Everybody agrees. But was Trump's campaign and Trump himself complicit in that? That's what he's investigating. And it's been announced that Mueller is going to ask Donald Trump in for questioning under oath. It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here, Donald. So take off all your clothes, because the emperor has no clothes, apparently. So Donald's getting nervous all of a sudden, so he's throwing up all these balloons to see what happens, and he's creating diversions. If you get all upset about something else, then this Mueller thing won't be a big deal to you. So we'll make a lot of stuff happen. And here's what we'll do, because they're getting close. Trump says, they're getting close. Here's what we'll do. We'll start throwing the stories out that the FBI is all messed up, and that there's conspiracies in the FBI. So when it comes out, Trump is saying to himself that when they put the heat on me, nobody will trust the FBI anymore, and everything will be fine. We'll just soften the floor here. It's so freaking obvious it's not funny. But that's why everybody's crazy. That's why everybody's on edge, because the country has set up an atmosphere of conflict. It's the bigots against the non-bigots, the racists against the non-racists, the whites against the people with different colored skin. And they won't admit it, but that's what it is. It's the Republicans against the Democrats. The president himself saying that the Democrats are losers, creating names for some of the Democratic senators, creating names for his opponents during the Republican nomination process. Lion Ted. How about Lion Trump? That kind of would fit better. No one had the ability to play in the schoolyard to fight the bully. It's just so all obvious, and that's why we're walking around with no foundation to our lives. No, nothing better in the future. Only thing we got going is the stock market going through the roof, which is great if you're a rich guy making money off of the stock market. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, what goes up must go down. And when the stock market goes up so high so quickly, it can fall just like that and worse. Easy to go down, difficult to go up. So I guess if you're making money in the stock market, enjoy, because there's going to be a backlash like you won't believe. And that's probably a fact. I don't know, but it's probably a fact. But that's why people are walking around. They got, as I said a few days on the show, they got no place to put their money. I got a couple of $100. I'll put it in a bank account, and after a year, I'll have $101. Wow, you'll be rich. What's the point? What's the point? I'm making $1 on $100 in a bank account? What? Not even? Seriously? That's what's depressing. People can't get ahead. Are you getting a $1,000 bonus from your company? No? Oh, I thought everybody was. Anyway, enough of that. But that's why people are walking around like that, because they know everything's crazy. Everything's crazy.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Find yourself feeling depressed, hopeless, having trouble sleeping, struggling with frequent panic attacks, irritability, constant arguments with family.
I know Dad did too. I know that.
Friends, or even friends of friends on Facebook. Yelling at your phone or computer screen.
Unbelievable.
And the constant urge to pull out your hair. If any of these sound familiar, you may be suffering from TIAD, or Trump-induced anxiety disorder. Impichara may help. Impichara is a prescription medication that may alleviate many symptoms of TIAD. Impichara works on your brain's neurotransmitters and optical receptors, convincing you that Donald Trump has already been impeached. Not all patients have the same reactions, and results may vary.
Okay.
Side effects may include elation, the ability to focus on work and family again, and reconnecting with people you called ignorant fuckfaces on social media.
Boom.
Women that are pregnant or nursing should ask their doctor, as well as their state legislators, if they are allowed to take this medicine. Impichara is not approved for children or adolescents under voting age and should not be taken by those in favor of the current administration, for it may cause thoughts of suicide or spontaneous bowel movements. In rare cases, people have developed a skin condition known as Cheeto face. Tell your doctor right away if you have thoughts of comb-overs or experience a reduction in the size of your hands. Before you decrease or stop taking Impichara, make sure you have disabled instant news alerts on all of your mobile devices.
Things got pretty dark there for a while, but thanks to Impichara, I've elected to be happy. Nice shot.
Talk to your doctor to see if Impichara might be right for you.
Go again.
Also, do it fairly soon before you lose your health insurance.
Well, whatever.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face.
Not so much. Anyway, here you go, kids. How you doing now? I'm fine, Ron. I'm fine. Everything's good. How are you? I'm fine, too. Thank you. Everything all right? Everything's great. You? Everything's fine. Oh, it's nice. It's nice. Everybody's on edge. Everybody's on edge. There's some people that I text. Texting is wonderful. I don't care what you say. Tweeting sucks. Apparently, someone made tweeting a suckable entity. But texting's great, man. I'm sick of talking to people, aren't you? How long in a conversation, when you're on the phone with somebody or face-to-face, do you say to yourself, okay, that's enough, let's move on? For me, it's all the time. A conversation can be very interesting for the first, 10, 15 seconds. Then it takes an ugly turn toward, ugh, gotta get out of this somehow. Start looking at your watch, start mentioning appointments that you have coming up rather soon and you got to go home and change, things like that. None of them work. They're all obvious. Whenever somebody just cuts you off, you know it's time to move on. Sometimes I'll be having conversations. See, I'm very observant. That's my problem. I'll be having conversation with somebody. I'll be talking to them. They ask me a question, and I'm responding to it with my opinion of something. And all of a sudden, I look in their eyes, and their eyes like start darting off to the side. And maybe they're listening to me as a blah, 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 blah kind of sound. But they're looking over somewhere else as I'm speaking. And I know that that is rude. And then I'll just stop talking to see if they even recognize the fact that I've stopped talking. Half the time, they haven't recognized it. And I'll go, hey, and they'll turn back at me and go, hey, they have no idea what I'm talking about or care about it. That's the difference between people and people. It's the difference between people that just space out and are gone and other people who are observant. And not too much shit passes them without recognition. That's where we're at, kids. Small talk. How often can you talk about the weather? It's cold, isn't it? It's cold this winter, isn't it? Yeah, unless you live in Costa Rica, I guess, but yeah. Cold enough for you? No, I'm looking for like 50 below zero. That would be cold enough for me. This is fine. 2 degrees with a wind chill factor of 200 below. Not quite. I'm waiting for something to be really cold. But you can't wait for the spring. I can't wait for the spring. It's just around the corner. No, it's not just around the corner. No, there's a fire hydrant just around the corner for me. But spring? No. I look around the corner. It's still cold. There's still some snow on the ground. It's not around the corner. It's maybe a hemisphere away, but no, it's not around the corner. Hey, how's your new year so far? What? How's my new year? What? How are you? Are you really reaching now, aren't you? I'm not even going to answer that question. How's my new year? What? I'll ask you a stupid question. How are your pencils? Are they all sharpened? That's just as stupid. How is your new year so far? What? The weather's the worst. People just talk about the weather incessantly. They got nothing to talk about. Some people will talk about football and sports because that's the world they live in. And they figure that will engage you. Doesn't engage me. That's a fantasy world. Yeah, the players get concussions and all that stuff. It's real to them, but they're getting paid well for it. What if a guy came up to you and said, Marcia, or Bob, whatever your persuasion, let's say Bob in this case, Bob, I'll tell you what, I will give you $7 million a year. What? Yes, I'll give you $7 million a year. All you have to do is play football and understand that you could get a concussion and you'll probably be getting leg and limb operations the rest of your life. $7 million or having my body and my brains all rattled? That's a good one. I'll take the $7 million. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it? That's the problem. That's the problem. Most people would take the $7 million, figuring, well, the worst won't happen to me, but it does. Every time I see a football player get a concussion, I'm like divided. In one sense, it's, oh my God, that guy's brains are getting rattled. They're not going to have a very good life. Their afterlife may be coming very soon. I wouldn't want my brains knocked out of my head, literally, with scars inside my skull where my brain is. That's horrible. Then on the other hand, you little whore, you took $7 million to take a chance on something. Now, someone offered me $7 million to sit on my ass and do a radio show every day, I'd say sure. If they offer me $7 million to die early and have operations like once a year until I have no organs left, I'd say, no, probably not. Probably not. I mean, the mere fact that you offer me $7 million, I can probably write a book and get $5 million. The fact that you offer me $7 million. Speaking of $7 million, I don't play the lottery for one reason. I don't want to win that much money. I'd like $7 million. I wouldn't have to worry about anything ever again. Or would I? Or would I? I'd have to worry about somebody kidnapping somebody, threatening family members. I'd have to go incognito. I'd have to move. Everybody that I knew, I'd wonder if they're my friend or they're just warming up to me because I have a lot of money. It would be awful. It would change everything for the worse. Sure, you can buy a boat and a yacht and a mansion, but that's it, man. Of course, you can buy sex too, but you're not supposed to. I don't know. Nothing would become genuine anymore. I would never want to win that much money. Ever. Ever. People that win those lotteries with those big payoffs, they commit suicide and they die early because of the stress and the complication. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. All right, let's speak to our guest for today. We're going to be talking about bipolar disorder, which I think everybody has, so maybe it's just good that I'm not a doctor, because I'd be prescribing shit for everybody immediately, because everybody I know is bipolar. I probably have some of it too, not enough to be medicated. You definitely need to be medicated, though. I get confused between bipolar and a head cold, so you know I'm not the kind of guy that would really. You should really talk to about this. All right, let's speak to our guest. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. Gary Sachs is an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, the founding director of the Bipolar Clinic and Research Program at Massachusetts General Hospital, and known as the top doctor by U.S. News and World Report. This will take an hour to go through your credentials.
Yeah, Ron, my mom's not listening, so we can just stop at
legit,
that.
Okay, we can stop at that, because she probably knows what's going on anyway. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about bipolar disorder, which it's very interesting because a lot of these disorders weren't discussed decades ago, and now they're household words. What is bipolar disorder?
Yeah, Ron, you make a good point. I think now they have seen the light of day, and they are part of common discussion, but they're still often misunderstood. So if you think about bipolar disorder, we're talking about a formal diagnostic process.
Yes.
That leads to the diagnosis of either a manic or a mixed episode. So those are conditions that are marked by periods of euphoria or feeling on top of the world, extreme irritability, excessive energy, and a host of other symptoms come with it. Patients may have racing thoughts, they may have psychotic symptoms, they have problems with energy, and they may well often have a lot of difficulty with thinking. So they're very impactful conditions, and it makes it impossible when patients have full episodes of mania or mixed episodes for them to function normally. So they can't hold jobs, right. They may lose friendships, relationships with family members, and so it can be devastating.
There's a lot of, you know, with the internet and the popularity of disordered conversation, a lot of people self-diagnose themselves and then walk around saying, I have this. When indeed perhaps they're using it as an excuse for laziness or a personality flaw or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what it actually reflects, but the phenomenon you mentioned is important for a couple of reasons. Because it can be great if you are self-diagnosing and you want to confirm it with a professional. That's what I would really recommend. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when people self-diagnose, one of the interesting things about manic and mixed states is that the patients themselves tend to be the last to recognize it, where they will tend to be the first to recognize depression. So even during a manic state, the most likely complaint that a patient will come to a professional with is, I'm depressed. And if we stop at the chief complaint, we will miss this diagnosis and mistreat the patient, and therefore their chances of getting better go way down.
Yeah. The process, I assume, would be your regular family practitioner. You would mention that to them, that you're having some concerns about what's going on in your life, and then your family practitioner would recommend from there. Is that how that works?
You know, often that's exactly right. Patients will start with their primary care doc, their family practitioner. There's no reason why they couldn't start with a psychiatrist or a neurologist or whoever they can see. Getting into a professional is the first step in getting a formal diagnosis and then going on to treatment.
Okay. Let's speak about treatment for bipolar. What are the treatment options? I guess it depends.
You know, when I started my career 3 decades or so ago, the only treatment we had was lithium. And that meant that when patients didn't do well, all I could do was raise the dose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not always effective. So now there have become, a number of other FDA-approved treatments. And now there are a class of drugs referred to as antipsychotic drugs because they were first approved for treatment of schizophrenia that have also been proven to be effective for manic and mixed episodes. Uh-huh. And those drugs, most recently approved, is a drug called Vraylar. Now, these are drugs that patients can take and have once-a-day dosing, and it's a lot easier for them. So those have been, great options for us to have, but it's important to understand that these very potent drugs can also carry a downside. Mm-hmm. And we have to be aware, particularly in vulnerable populations like the elderly and patients with dementia, that there could be serious consequences. Those populations are more vulnerable to things like stroke and even death when they're treated. So patients need to be managed by somebody who knows what they're doing and is aware of the benefits as well as the risks of these medications.
Okay. So it can be quite serious if not treated. In other words, it's not just a social situation. It can lead to fatality.
Yeah, the interesting thing, I think many people are aware that conditions like bipolar are associated with a higher death rate due to suicide, and that's absolutely true. So these are deadly serious conditions for that reason. But the most common reason for people to have shortened life spans, which is really true, patients with these disorders tend to die a decade or more earlier on average than the general population. But it's not due to suicide. It's really due most commonly to cardiovascular kinds of conditions. So uncontrolled hypertension, heart disease, sometimes pulmonary conditions are things that get neglected along the way. So it's really important for patients to get in there, talk with their doctor, get treated, and also get those conditions monitored.
Yeah. Can this be triggered by social situations, environment, or is it specifically a medical condition in the sense that it can be hereditary, it is some dysfunction of the brain. Where does that lie?
Yeah, you know, bipolar disorder has a strong genetic component. Mm. And when we're talking about the illness over a lifetime, the kinds of social interactions and talking therapies really may have an important role. But during manic or mixed episodes, none of that has ever been proven to be effective, and none claim to be. So during manic and mixed episodes, the name of the game is using proven treatments, and that means medications like lithium, the approved anticonvulsants, and antipsychotics.
All right. You know, these are weird social times, I will say, not to get political or anything, but the stresses of life are tenfold over any given year previous. And one might tend to say, am I just normally reacting to what's going on in a confused, somewhat depressing manner, a reactionary, an overreactionary manner, or do I indeed have some type of thing that's triggering here?
Yeah, you know, the single best approach to that I know, Ron, is a lot of times people get focused on what they do have. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you're living in Jacksonville today and you're still feeling down because your team lost, that's not depression. Mm. If you're living in New England and you're really still happy because your team won, that's not mania. But during manic states, you don't see the downside of things. If you're feeling great because the Patriots won, but when you get called in by your boss to say your performance isn't so good and your job is in jeopardy, if you don't take that risk seriously, if you're up all night and you're not sleeping, you don't miss the sleep, it's not necessarily what you have, but what you can't perceive. And during depression, you lose the ability to experience pleasure in things. And during many, you lose the experience to recognize the downside of things. And that's probably the single most important criteria for me when I'm assessing a mood state to decide, is this pathological or is it normal? We don't want to pathologize everything, but we absolutely don't want to miss these highly treatable conditions and have patients suffer the consequence. These are conditions that affect, most often they have their onset during early adult years.
Yes.
And what that means is that maybe you don't complete your education, you don't get started with your job. And the saddest thing is to have a patient who has a great response when they're 34 years old, and I can't give them their 20s back.
Yeah.
And it, you know, these are things that will affect the trajectory of your life a lot less if you're treated than if you go on.
Certainly. So it takes a professional to discern whether this is you're depressed because you can't have your 20s back, or whether this is, because basically bipolar, the downside, the negative side of bipolar in feeling very down and very depressed is also depression. So there are, something needs to be treated when extremes become normal, I assume is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'd encourage your audience to think of it like heart disease. You know, there are a lot of people who have a first heart attack, and they train for the marathon, and they complete it. And, and you know, we're all inspired by that.
Okay.
After three or four heart attacks, not so many times do you hear that. And there are patients, you know, who have had 10 heart attacks, and they can't get out of bed, and nobody would dream of sending them, you know, for exercise because they're that unstable. The more episodes you have with mood disorders, the more difficult it is going to be for you to have a full recovery. So that's why early diagnosis and early intervention are so valuable to patients.
All right. And don't be scared to be medicated if that's what it requires.
Yeah, try it. You know, the thing that's important is to see if you benefit. And, you know, as I said, now we have proven treatments that we can offer and absolutely should be offered to patients.
Good.
So be open to that.
Yeah. Where do we get more information about this?
You know, one of the best resources is the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. This is a patient-led organization. Their website is dbsaalliance.com. Great resources on their site.
Great. Hey, Dr. Sachs, thank you so much for your time today. Good information.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. Another show down the tubes. Thank you to my doctor guest for joining us a few moments ago. Thank you to you for listening. I'll be with you again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I do, in all sincerity, with every ounce in my body, wish you peace.